Your prayers. We ask that each time, but we mean it each time. Last week we had an introduction to the book of Proverbs, and in the first six verses we discussed what the Proverbs are. So we'll pick up in verse 7, and we did say last week that there's going to be times when we're going to discuss a topic instead of going verse by verse, because much of the Proverbs are a collection of lessons in either one, two, or three, maybe four verses that might deal with a certain topic. So rather than trying to go through so many topics, we may just approach some of these lessons in the way of a topic. But these first few chapters, or first couple of chapters at least, follow on in its teaching, and so we're going to cover them in that way. So after studying what the Proverbs are and their intended value, the early chapters lay this foundation for how we're to pursue gaining wisdom and understanding from God's Word. First thing we notice is the fear of the Lord. We've talked about that from time to time, haven't we? The fear of the Lord. In my short lifetime, I think I see much less manifestation in the general public of a fear of the Lord, much less of that than I remember when I was younger. Now, I am thankful that we still have a lot of God-fearing people among us. When I used to have to travel all over the country and train people, I met a lot of good people all over this country, from coast to coast. And it made me more thankful that there's so many good people. You know, I even went to New Jersey and found some good folks. Now, I don't mean to label New Jersey that way, but, you know, us country folk looking at such large cities and their population, we kind of have that aversion to that kind of culture, don't we?
You never went to Chicago, did you?
Yes, I did.
Well, I don't know if you helped them or not.
At least Hoffman Estates, just out one of the suburbs of Chicago, and I found some good folks there. But anyway, the fear of the Lord. You know, I used to hear quite often the expression, "There goes a God-fearing person." I don't hear much of that anymore. Maybe it's just a difference in the way we say things, because I know we still got a lot of God-fearing folks, and aren't you glad? I believe I'm in the presence of God-fearing folks, and I'm thankful for that. But the fear of the Lord, we're not talking about a slavish fear. We're talking about a reverence, a respect. The kind of respect that would move us to act in a way that would be pleasing to the Lord. Because we love the Lord and we want to do what's pleasing. You know, like Ephesians 5 talks about walk in love as dear children. When a child is walking in a way that's pleasing to the parent, then there's a wonderful feeling there. Brother Jim touched on that a moment ago. So we want to walk as dear children before God. And that's walking in love. But it's also walking in the fear of the Lord. We're going down in the body of our discussion tonight. We're going to find, I thought about asking, and then maybe I'll just go ahead and ask it. When does fear equal love? When does fear equal love? Yeah. But when we're talking about the fear of the Lord, we're going to find that Jesus said that's the same as loving Him. Okay, so we'll get to that in a minute. Verse 7, chapter 1, verse 7. I'm going to read several verses and then we'll comment. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, that doesn't mean that all fools are ignorant. There's some very clever fools, very intelligent, but foolish people. So what we're talking about is the kind of knowledge and wisdom that God gives, right? All right, so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, and this goes for daughters as well, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Okay? Now, only those who have been awakened to righteousness by the new birth will have this fear. Okay? This kind of fear we're talking about. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, not all men have faith, do they? Okay, so we have to acknowledge that. All right? So it is an indwelling reverence and respect for God and His Word that will prompt us to obey God's Word and do His will. While this fear is only present when God's Spirit is within us, it can be strengthened by faithfulness. And Paul prayed in Ephesians 3:16 that they might be strengthened with all might in the inner man. We need that, don't we? We need to be strengthened in that way. So it can be strengthened by faithfulness and obedience to the leading of that Spirit. Philippians 2:13, where it's God that worketh in us, both to will and to do His good pleasure. It can also be strengthened by the study of His Word. In Acts 20:32, Paul to the brethren at Ephesus said, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. So, this fear can be nurtured and strengthened, and we can grow in our understanding. All right? However, this fear can become dulled and unfeeling by repeated rebellion to the leading of God's Spirit. Ultimately, God will give them over to a reprobate mind, which is a mind that's blinded and hardened past feeling the conviction of the Spirit and is void of judgment. Romans chapter 1 speaks of this three times. Talks about God gave them over. God gave them over. Gave them over because of their repeated rebellion. You know, folks along the way have asked, well, how much rebellion? How long does God wait? Well, I don't want to know. I don't want to find out, do you? I want to stay in fellowship with God. I want to walk in close communion with Him. I don't want to know how far. I don't want to know the extent of God's long-suffering. I tell you, His long-suffering is tremendous because He's still long-suffering with me. It's tremendous. And we can be thankful for that, can't we? Every day we live. But we have to be concerned. I mean, we have to recognize that God's Word tells us. And I'll get to just very quickly here, we'll find that His Spirit will not always strive with man. You know, He sent a flood of water in Noah's day, didn't He? Because of the wickedness, the thoughts and the intents of the hearts of men were only evil continually. He sent a flood of waters in judgment. So He'll deal with His children as well. Now, I didn't put this in here, but we have to recognize If he's chosen us in Christ, if Jesus has died for our sins, we may fall out of fellowship with God, but we won't fall out of that relationship. We're eternally secure in him. But that does not give us a license to sin. We want to stay in fellowship with God. So, so when we speak of those that have the reprobate mind, that God gives them over, that become to a place where they are void of judgment, this is the fool who despises wisdom and instruction. Remember back up here he says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. He rejects God's way and prefers the works of the flesh and the ways of the world. But they that obey the leading of God's Spirit and the instruction from his word show that they fear God and desire to keep his commandments. Jesus also equates this fear to love. After all, he did say, if you love me, keep my commandments. Right? Okay? So if we walk in the fear of the Lord, we want to keep his commandments. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So in that sense, we can equate the fear of the Lord with loving him. Okay? And Solomon would also say in Ecclesiastes 12, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Fear God, keep his commandments. That's where you'll find joy and happiness and peace in this life. Thus, when you see those who have walked in the fear of the Lord and have heard and not forsaken the instruction of godly fathers and mothers, they are adorned with things far better than a chain of gold. Now, in that day, a chain of gold was a symbol of respect and dignity in their culture. Okay? But listen, walking in the fear of the Lord, you have something far better than that. Far better than that. Rather, they have a godly dignity and respect that's recognized and appreciated by others who fear the Lord. Aren't you thankful for godly people? Aren't you thankful that we live around so many godly people? They're the salt of the earth. Salt is a preservative. Salt is an influencer, a seasoning element. How thankful that there's so many God-fearing people around us. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Right? Now, there's going to be other passages that speaks of the fear of the Lord, and we're not going to finish with the fear of the Lord tonight, but we're going to, Lord willing, we're going to finish chapter 1. Now, the next 10 verses, illustrate the activities of fools, which show how the instruction of the father is being ignored and the law of the mother that was taught is cast aside and forsaken. Now, he began by saying, fools despise wisdom and instruction. And he says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. But these next 10 verses are going to tell us about the foolish who forsake those things and forget what they were taught. Verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Pause right there. We've all been come into contact with that, haven't we? Somewhere along the way in our life, we've been around somebody that wanted us to do something that we knew wasn't right. There it is in God's Word. Amazing, isn't it? The wisdom of God to warn us against such activities. And who does those things? The foolish. We don't want to be foolish. We want to be wise. All right? So, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Now, you may not have heard him say that, but you may have heard some folks say, let's go do something. And when you found out what they wanted to do, you said, uh-oh, trouble here. It's trouble. I better stay away from that. But you see, the lure here is that you'll do things with friends that you won't do with others. You let friends talk you into things that you wouldn't do those things with others. And the wisdom of God is warning us, and we'll be wise if we heed such instruction, whether we're 10 or 110 or anything in between. We'll be wise in heeding the clear instruction of God's word. I know these are dark sayings. I mean, in the earlier verses, it spoke about how Proverbs were dark sayings, but this is not very dark, is it? This is pretty plain. It's pretty plain. It's easy to understand. Sometimes in our earlier years, when we're going through some of these, it's not as easy to refuse. But this is the wisdom of God in teaching us what would be best for us. So, come with us. Let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. You know, this would be more closely aligned to those bands of robbers in their day that would go through the countryside and would attack travelers. You know, it was a dangerous thing in that culture and in that time to travel between cities. That's why folks would travel along together. It was a very dangerous thing to travel by yourself in that part of the world, going from city to city, because there were those bands of robbers that would come along and attack the travelers. And so you can see how something like that would be very suited to this kind of language. But listen, just because we don't have bands of robbers lurking between Dothan and Headland, don't think that those same kinds of thoughts and those same kind of evil hearts aren't there. They are, aren't they? Folks wanting to do such as that, all right? So it says, let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down to the pit. See the heart, the desire to work in a cloak of darkness? See, that's where evil folks want to do they want to do things in the dark. That's why God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We want to stay as close to the light as we can. So see, they want to work in darkness, and how hurtful it will be to others as they take what is not theirs just so they can feed their ungodly, carnal desires. Just think about it. Those that you've heard of, those that maybe you know some of those folks, I don't know, but we know this exists. Now, we're blessed to be in small towns, but just because we're in small, there's places in our larger cities you don't even want to go there. There's places in these larger cities taxi drivers won't go there. You know, lots of things like that. We don't have such a problem as that, but we still have folks that want to do mischief, don't we? And we have to be aware and watch out for that. So there are those that want to do hurtful things to others and take what's not theirs just so they can feed their carnal desires. They have no concern, even if it means killing them. Now here again, if you think about somebody that's been in mischief a long time, you know, if it keeps getting worse and worse, it gets to the place where they don't have any regard for human life, do they? I may have shared with you the story years ago when I probably did, when we were going through the book of James, and I was preaching, I'd heard Elder Sonny Pyle, just take that analogy of lust, sin, and death out of James, and he said, he said in one of his messages one time, I'm going to preach on LSD. Well, that was back in the 70s when that was, you know, a big thing among a lot of the young folks. All right, but that lust, sin, and death, that pattern. And so I didn't do it exactly like Brother Sonny did, but I used that one night, and Sister Nancy and I went home with a wonderful grandmother, and she proceeded to tell me something about LSD. I didn't know nothing. She told me about her son and daughter being murdered by her grandson in their home. And I'm just going to tell you what she said. I felt so bad for her. But they were into drugs. And it was so bad with them. They wanted their money so bad. They shot their mother and daddy and left them where they were in the house and invited their friends and had a party all weekend with them right there. When you talk about the foolish and those that go about doing their mischief, and if they keep going in that direction, there is no end to the evil that people will do. We don't like to think about it, but you have to realize it. We hear in the news about stuff going on over in the Middle East, you know, ISIS and the way that they're executing people, especially Christians, and that is tremendously awful. But there's things going on in this country too. It's right here in our neighborhoods. Evil abounds. And this is what we need to be teaching our children and teaching our families and taking heed to ourselves so that we don't get involved in going in that direction. God has given his people good words of counsel to save us from those kinds of hurts. So they have no, those that are going in that direction, they have no concern, even if it means killing them, just as long as they get what they want. Now, does that sound extreme? Well, I just gave you an extreme example of just how that could be. The wisdom of God's word warns that such foolishness will only grow worse and worse. That's the direction it'll go. Now it continues in verse 13. The foolish are speaking about what they want to do, and he says, "We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil." Wait a minute. Spoil is what an army does when they've defeated an enemy. They're just talking about stuff they're stealing. That's not spoil. They've looted. They've stolen. Ah, but let's put a good name on it. All right. Cast in thy lot among us, and let us all have one purse. That's the way they want to do things. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Plain enough? For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. If you're going to set a snare or something for a bird to try to catch them, what I've seen, you want to sprinkle some leaves or something to cover it up so that the prey doesn't see the trap. So he says, surely, in vain The net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain. The Word of God's telling us how they think, what they want to do, what they're willing to do. Those that are greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. No regard for others, only regarding themselves. So fear God and respect His wise instructions. Don't go with fools who do such to their own ruin. That's how the book of Proverbs starts. And it's got a whole lot more in it, doesn't it? All right. I'm going to read a couple of verses here. And looking back over this, I'm going to read verses 20 through 22, and then we'll begin the comments. After telling us about the foolish, then he's going to tell us something about wisdom and what we need to hear. So, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, and in the city she uttereth her words, saying, "How long, ye simple ones?" And we talked about this last week, simple ones, those who lack understanding. "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge?" In great contrast to the lure and enticing of the voices of sinners, God's wisdom is one. And this can be heard wherever we happen to be. Isn't God amazing in how He has designed that He can instruct us? We don't have to be at Piney Grove on Sunday morning to get the instruction. God has given His Spirit that we carry with us everywhere we go. That witness within us, that witnesses to what's right and witnesses against what's wrong, so that it will teach us what we need to do. God's given us that. Isn't that wonderful?
When that little man in the nurse says, "Leave it alone," if you'll leave it alone, you're okay. But if you don't leave it alone, it's going to bite you.
There you go. Right. So this wisdom can be heard wherever we happen to be. This wisdom is not the life-giving voice of the Son of God. Remember John 5, 5:25. Sorry about that. I'll get it in a minute. John 5:25. He talks about, "Verily, verily, the hour cometh, now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." That's the voice of the Son of God. But we're talking about here the wisdom of God. All right? Now, I know there's a lot of folks that think that this word and a tract and something like that can give you spiritual life. But that's not what we understand the Scriptures to teach. Spiritual life comes when He speaks that life-giving voice to us. But wisdom is His teachings. All right? So, this wisdom is not the life-giving voice of the Son of God, but is the teachings of the words He's spoken. Still, wisdom here is here personified, but in a secondary sense. So it's not the Son of God Himself speaking, but it's His words. Okay? The Spirit uses this to teach us the meaning and instruction of God's words, whether we're hearing them from others, reading them, or listening to the Spirit through meditation. The wisdom is good and is profitable for all men to know and follow, to build a life that will please God and will be a blessing to many. Isn't that what we want our life to be? Pleasing to God and a blessing to others. If I can't help someone, I sure don't want to hurt them. If I can't be a help to them, I sure don't want to hinder them. Well, God's word builds us up. And it's good for us. It's good for everybody. I know that, you know, not everybody loves God, but anybody that would follow the word of God, it'll be good for them. It'll be good for them. Notice how wisdom is wherever we are. It says, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying. You know, you never know where you're going to find a godly influence. Yeah, I mentioned earlier that I used to have to travel all over the country from coast to coast, and in cities and small towns and whatever, and it was just such a blessing when I would get somewhere and find God-fearing people that were so good to work with. What a blessing. And I tell you, you know, sometimes you find it in the oddest of places. Somebody that you wouldn't, you know, just either their appearance or their demeanor or whatever, and you think, well, I don't know about that. And they turned out to be one of the most godly folks there. God's wisdom goes wherever he directs. And it's within us, by his Spirit, wherever we are. So here's what wisdom cries. How long, ye simple ones, those who lack understanding, how long will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. We need to be growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to be taking that yoke upon us and learning of him, of how we can live our lives in a way that's pleasing him. That's what we want, isn't it? And we all start out being simple-minded. You know, Paul even said in Hebrews 5, when for the time that you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as those that in need milk and not meat. Little children, when they're little, crawling around on the floor, and they're so cute and cuddly and lovable, but when they get 12 years old, you don't expect them to be crawling around on the floor. You want them to grow and develop and learn. And do you think God wants his children to do the same? We need to be growing and developing and learning. How long, these simple ones, we love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Man, by nature, is this way. You know, if without the Spirit of God, that's the way man is. But if God's Spirit is working in us, we can put away the fool's heart and mind and respond to its prompting, respond to its leading, and grow in grace. Verse 23, turn you at my reproof. This is wisdom speaking now. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Really? Will God do that for us? Said he would. This is God's promise to those who can hear wisdom's call. Like we so often mention in Hebrews 11:6, he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He'll help us understand. Verse 24, because I have called, here wisdom is still speaking here, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. God has mercy and long-suffering, doesn't he? Oh, he's very merciful, and he's very long-suffering. but his spirit will not always strive with man. We mentioned that earlier. In Noah's day, the wickedness was great in the earth. He repented God that he'd even made man. That's hard to believe, isn't it? Now don't take that to mean that anything surprised God. He knew what was going to happen. But all that sin bothered him. And so judgment was sent upon them. And judgment is sure to fall upon those who reject God's wisdom. Wisdom continues in verse 25. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. Now this is kind of different language, isn't it? God sends his spirit. He gives us the leading of his spirit. He works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And we need to hear that. And we need to follow that. And we need to seek that. But he says, you've set at naught. So for those who have set at naught all my counsel and with none of my reproof, he says, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Now what we're talking about here is someone that has gone so far that God is going to send a remedy. Remember, like the children of Israel, when there was no remedy, he sent the Babylonians in there. But their judgment lasted 70 years, and he brought them back. So no chastening is at the present joyous, but grievous, Hebrews 12 says. Nevertheless, it yielded the peaceable fruits of righteousness. God deals with us to bring us back into the way. But he deals with us, and we need to expect that. So he says, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, and when distress and anguish cometh upon you, and if those persist in their mischief, then it certainly will, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. We don't want to get to that point, do we? They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. I can just hear, if somebody were to say that on national TV, oh, people would say, well, how? What kind of a loving God would do such as that? Well, because his judgment and because of his chastening is out of love to bring us back into the right way. All right, so so they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. This is why Isaiah says in Isaiah 55 and 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Also Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So if for one that has persisted in rebellion, going against God, if they feel any conviction in their heart, if they still feel convicted over a matter, there's still time to repent. If there's still conviction there, it's because the Spirit's still working there. All right? But if the feeling of condemnation is past, then God has closed that door for repentance. And he's the only one that can open it. He's the only one. In Revelation, he talks about, I'm he that openeth and no man shutteth. and shutteth, and no man openeth. So we don't want to go down that path. He gives us that conviction and that condemnation to cause us to pause and consider and think about what we're doing and turn. And God's wisdom calls upon us to turn, repent. But if they persist, there'll come a time when they're no longer convicted, that God has shut that door. Verse 29, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose, what? The fear of the Lord. See, that's something that we need to follow. That's something that we need to walk in. That's something that we need to grow in. Because if you reject it, remember we talked about how that it gets dulled and the heart gets hard. And eventually, God turns them over to a reprobate mind. All right. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof, though God was long-suffering. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Judgment. Discipline. Chastening. If nothing more than the enforcement of the law of sowing and reaping. Okay. Judgment will fall upon the stubborn and disobedient. Listen to wisdom's call and be blessed. We need to be warned about the other, but our concern ought to be how close can we be with the Lord. Not how far we can get away from him before judgment comes, but how close can we stay with him? Walk in the light. Walk in the light. Verse 32, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. That is, those simple ones who lack understanding are the ones who are turning away from instruction. What they think is such gain will ultimately be their ruin. The deceivableness, the deception of sin. Then verse 33. But whoso hearkeneth unto me, who is me? Wisdom. Wisdom. The wisdom of God. But whoso hearkeneth unto me, wisdom's still speaking here. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Doesn't that just give you a peace in your soul just to read the verse? Because the Spirit is saying, yes, that's true. That's right. That's the way you need to go. Not this other. It bothers me just to read this other. Oh, but to hear that, but whoso hearkeneth unto me, the wisdom of God, shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. So learning and heeding wisdom's instruction will save us from destruction. I give you a quote out of Deuteronomy 5. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. It's not just us. There's a generation coming along behind us. They need a good example to see and follow. They need to hear good instruction. They need to see a good and godly life. They need to see someone who's walking in the fear of the Lord and being blessed. One who's dwelling in safety and being quiet from fear of evil. They need to see that. We all need to see that, don't we? We need to be an encourager to one another. God's word, the wisdom of God teaches us to walk in the fear of the Lord and be blessed. Fearing the Lord in reverence is your beginning to the sure promise for peace and safety. I'm not saying you won't have problems in life. We know that's not true. I know there are those that preach a health and wealth doctrine. Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation. But he didn't leave it there. He said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. He is our greatest reason to be joyful. But walking in the fear of the Lord is your beginning to the sure promise for peace and safety. Okay. Well, that's chapter 1. There's a lot more there. A lot more there. Any questions or comments? Yeah. That's right. Amen. Amen. Yeah, if we see somebody going the wrong direction, that's when we need to really, best help we can give them is prayer. We might have a word, encouragement, but prayer, praying for them. Good thought. Good thought. Anything else?
I thought she had died, and I told her that. I said, I thought I seen your new friend in the paper.
Obviously.
They all love me, and I didn't know too.
Yeah. Well, you were a loving person around her. Okay. Sure. We can do that. We'll announce an open door of the church. If there's one or more here that would like to come forward and confess your love for the Lord and wants to take up your cross and follow him in baptism or any other way the gospel directs, that opportunity is yours while we stand and sing 131. You know.
Dost thou not know that thou shalt reap what thou dost sow? If to thy flesh thou sowest thy field, corruption is the fruit it yields. And if thou sparingly shalt sow, then sparingly thy fruit shall grow. But if so good seed in all thy thoughts and words and deeds, and thou shalt find in harvest day it shall return in numerous ways.
Needs to be an amen on the end of that. By the